Good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, fresh off the love train. Oh, welcoming you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be Martha Norwalk. .com. Click on the Listen Live link in the upper right. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you will be all set up to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. And if you don't go there and find that golden retriever in the flamingo float toy in the pool, you're just missing out on a great big smile and love for the day. It is so, so cute. Let's see. We are chatting with Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, the incredible story about a very abused border collie that got, you know, very aggressive and could be quite vicious. The stories that Walter went through with Lance are amazing. And if you haven't read the book, get on Walter's website, walterstoffelauthor.com, S-T-O-F-F-E-L, walterstoffel.com. We kind of all started this because I said, really, if Walter and Lance had lived out here on the West Coast when all this was going down, that we could have helped him somewhat with Lance. We didn't know then as much as we know now, but enough that we could have made some progress. And eventually, this is all going to come full circle, and especially for you, Walter, is that well, once we get all the components, we talk about all these problems, eventually we'll get back to Lance and, what would we have been able to do at that stage with Lance, and how is it changed? What are we able to do now? But since I'm thinking about Walter, I got to tell you, I think that might have been one of the best love trains we ever had. Because guess what? I think I shamed Walter into dancing.
Walter because can move.
Walter can move. Yes. And not only can he get out of his chair and dance, the boy can sing too. So Walter's singing and he's dancing it all over the place. And Nathan's got the lasers going. And we had a great time, didn't we? That was fun.
My only regret is that we weren't on television.
Yeah.
Too bad I couldn't hear you because I had to keep you off the air for a bit. But next time I might have to, throw in a little bonus for our listeners when we have Walter on.
I see you turn them so they could hear, me and Walter singing, because I sing all the time with this stuff. But yeah. All right. So anyway, we had a really great love train. I hope you all joined us and got your exercise in for the morning and got your blood flowing. All righty. So let's get back to the subject. So what I just wanted to go through that part of explaining to you all how I got to this point. It has been a long time. And I realized yesterday, because, of course, I was thinking about this as I'm doing the session yesterday, and when I'm driving home and I'm thinking, wow, I still don't have all the answers. Okay. I doubt I ever will, as long as I'm still here on the planet. But I am still learning. And I'll tell you, I practically learn something every time I do a session. I'm still constantly learning, where I'm constantly creating and we're tweaking things to make it work. Because, I do my very best to customize a program to who I'm working with, the people and their dogs and what's going on with them. And so we customize and tweak things to make them work. So, some of the techniques and the things I'll end up giving you here are, kind of been helped and created by my clients and what we do. But just so you know, I'm not done. This isn't etched in stone. It's still evolving and creating, but I've got more tools in my toolbox now than I've ever had before. So, just so you know, when I'm doing a session, I arrive before I even come in. If the dog is at all a barker when people come in, we address the barking before I go in. Now, because I want to take advantage of the fact that the dog's going to bark like a banshee because I'm new and I just arrived. Sometimes if I used to wait and not do this at the front door, and then I would do it later in the session, then we'd have to come up with creative ways to get the dog to bark, because I'd already been there and so they knew who I was and they wouldn't necessarily bark so much. So it eventually evolved to where I figured out how I could do this and take advantage of the fact of just being there so the dog would always bark. So that's why I address it right away. And so we get the barking under control before we go into the house. Now, when that happens, when we take that bark, now I don't do it myself. I have my clients do it and I coach them through it. Because I don't want to be the bad guy coming in the house if I'm going to establish a relationship with the dog where I'm there, to work with. Sometimes in the majority of cases, I'm able to forge a relationship with the dog and I can actually work with them. Every once in a while, the behavior is so extreme and there is so much aggression or so much fear that I can't actually work with them. But we get the job done anyway. I mean, it all works out in the long run. This also helps when we're going in, because the dog, in order for this to all work when I'm entering the home, they have their dog on the leash or the leash with collar or harness snug enough that it can't pull out. We get the barking under control, and then I enter and we go into whatever room in the house we're going to work and sit down and set up. Now, the neat thing with the way I do this is that when you take the bark, you take the power. Okay. So you need to know that as I'm going to teach you the sequence and how I do this, that it is an act of taking the power away from the dog. And as a result of that, it pushes them back into kind of like a busting rank, back to puppyhood, but it'll also push them back into their fear and so forth. So that's an immediate reaction. But it's not concerning. It's actually a good thing. Because we're breaking through the thought process, stopping the barking so that we can then communicate with the dog what's wrong and what's right. And we're beginning the process of teaching impulse control before I come in. So by the time I come in, the barking is under control. We've taken the power. And of course, that's associated with me because me and the training tools and stuff showed up at the same time, even though the owner did it and I didn't. It still is associated with me. So that gets me some real clout with the dog. And then we go in and we sit down. And now then I go through the interview process and go over the food and look at the ingredients and all of that and take notes. And we go through all their list of problems. Then I go through the teaching session like I've been doing with you on the air. We do the general dog stuff. Then we do all the food stuff. Then we do all the physical health and well-being stuff and all supplements or processes or other things we might add. Then we come back to their list of specific problems. Then we do all the communication stuff after the supplements and physical body stuff. Then we do all the communication stuff, which then leads me to where we're going now to the four-step correctional teaching sequence and all of that. Then I go to the list and start dealing with all, now that we have all the components, some exercises that some people need to teach, then we go through the list of all the problems and address those. So where we are right now in this sequence of me feeding you the information, we're completing the communication section, which is now taking us into the teaching training section and the practical logical stuff. So Walter and Nathan, is that making sense to you? And you kind of get where I'm at this point. Okay.
Yes.
And you don't have to do what I'm telling you these things, but I will also tell you as I'm going to explain this four-step correctional teaching sequence, you can't pussyfoot around with this stuff. You do it and get the job done. And that's what I've learned, is you do it right the first time, you don't have to repeat it for the rest of their lives. All right. So the first thing I'm going to tell you, getting to the correctional teaching sequence is where we left off. I think I left on my notes, I wrote down yawn and start there, which tells me where I was. So did I tell you guys just before we ended last time about touch overriding sound?
I honestly don't remember that.
Okay. All right. So that's part of that. All right. So first thing I remember, when you're reinforcing vocabulary, talking to your dog, you want to keep your hands off the dog. Most people touch too much. Okay. Now, you also need leader dogs don't love and nurture and coddle and snuggle and all that kind of stuff a lot. Leader dogs are quite aloof with their affection and all of that, and they dole it out very slowly and affectionate, and subordinates need to work to be in their good graces and all that sort of stuff. So all the touching and petting and the loving and the spoiling we do actually tells our dogs that we aren't good leaders. So that needs to be balanced with powerful leadership. So the more you want to, relationships have to be in balance. So the more you want to love and spoil your dogs, the more powerful you need to be in the leadership department. Now, you're a big, powerful leader, then you get to spoil your dogs. So guess what? I get to spoil my dog. Robbie Golden is spoiled. But he also respects his mom and knows that I'm the one in charge. And so he listens and pays attention. And we have a nice, balanced relationship. Okay. All right. So touch override sound. So when most people teach something to their dog, maybe we're teaching the dog to sit. And so maybe we have a little piece of food, or we're using our hand. We start it in front of the dog's nose and we raise it to a point above their head. And when their head goes up, it's like pump action, the butt goes down. So you say, dog, sit, as you move the food above their head, they sit. And then you start praising. Good sit. Good sit. Remember I told you that last week? Good sit. Well, but what most people do, the dogs sit. And as soon as the dog sits, as they're praising, they start petting. Good sit. That's a good sit as they're petting the dog. But you need to know, as soon as you put your hand on the body, the brain will not compute the words right away. So touch overrides sound. And by putting your hand on the dog's head, usually where we're petting, the brain won't compute the words for a little bit. So when you're teaching a dog something, do the dog sit, keep your hand to yourself and get the praise out. Good sit. Good sit. That's a good sit. Good sit. Then you can pet if you want, but hands off while you're reinforcing the vocabulary, or it won't get into the brain. Does that make sense? All right. Now, then yes. The next thing you pay attention to when you're working with your dog's behavior, you watch for yawning. Occasionally it's a sneeze, but usually it's yawning. Yawning will let you know when your dog is working on learning impulse control, because yawning means that mind and body are in conflict. We think it means we're tired, because that's the most important time, or most important, yeah, you know, the most important thing going on when we're tired. So, we're watching TV and our mind is saying, oh, I got to stay up and watch the end of this movie. But your body's saying, hey, it's past my bedtime. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. That's when you get the yawning. Okay. So when I would most commonly see yawning in a private situation is when we get to this point in the teaching and their education, and I'm going to set up a leave it correction to teach them the leave it sequence. So in many cases, the dog in question that I'm there to help steals food, grabs food and steals food and stuff. And so if I got a good food stealer, then I will actually set up this leave it exercise and demonstrate it with the dog in front of the people. Okay. But sometimes, that's not on the list. They're not food stealers. They don't steal food, or they're already so in tuned with the fact that I'm powerful and in charge that there's no way they're going to go after a setup for food. So in those cases, I just explain it to the client. Well, and since we don't have a dog and all of that to set it up here, I'm just going to explain it to you. So, Nathan and Walter, you're going to let me know if it's not making sense or something. So if I were going to set up this leave it exercise in my client's home, usually what I do is I close up my briefcase and then I put the briefcase down on the floor. And then I've already told you that I always have a treat pouch, and the food that I use for reward and motivational training is string cheese. Okay. So I do believe in using food as a reward and motivation for teaching and training. And did I tell you when we talked about food and we talked about treats to use? I don't know if I told you then that's what I use as my drug of choice for reward and motivational food. I like a soft food reward. My choice is string cheese because it's rarely an allergen. I can buy it by the gross at Costco. It keeps forever in the refrigerator and people like it too. So it's a good food motivation. Now, a food reward to be effective only needs to be large enough to taste. So you could give a slice of string cheese, but you could also give teeny little pieces, sit treat, sit treat, sit treat. And one little slice of string cheese could be 5 or 10 little rewards. And then did I tell you also that you need to remember that the strongest way of strengthening canine behavior is a random reward? And then the ultra strongest way is a random food reward. So are you nodding, Walter? You remember me telling you that? Okay. All right. So now we are going, where are we at? 22. Okay. Let's take care of our advertisers so we stay on time. And then as soon as we're done with that, then we'll get to this four-step correctional teaching sequence. And folks, this is like the big ball game. This is the foundation of the practical logical stuff, and this is what gets the whole ball rolling, and understanding how to do this is what helps you solve problems and extinguish behavior right away. So stay right where you are. That's coming up after we take care of our advertisers. It is the most important part of the show. So listen, thank them, support them. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? You running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Get inspired every hour right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for being here with us on Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from wonderful NuPro Supplements, N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. Check them out, and you can easily order their products from the website. You can find them in a lot of pet stores, too. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. The best cat vitamins, and they're very palatable. Haven't met a cat that didn't like them. And the dog supplements, phenomenal skin and hair coats. We're talking to how much Natasha loves it and how great her dog looks on it. I think Abby, Nathan's dog, has been taking it. And we all use it. It's a great product. Check them out. NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. You heard from Natasha Venter, our medium communicator and personal awareness coach. She does great private readings. She's very reasonably priced. You can do half hour or 1 hour sessions. You can check her out at angelicclarifications.com, angelicclarifications.com. Remember, if I go look for her on YouTube, she does YouTube podcasts at 4 p.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays. And like I said, is available for phone readings if you like, and you can give her a call at 360 770-7486. 360-770-7486. And of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on. We'd love you to join our Animal World family of advertisers. We've got great rates. You get interviews on the show and link on the website. So all you got to do is contact us. You can shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or give me a call, 360-217-7258. All righty then, here we go back to our teaching, and this is what I call the 4-step correctional teaching sequence. Now we start with a basic 4 steps. Sometimes we add a 5th or 6th step, depending on the issue we're dealing with. Now, I get into this in the session because remember I just told you about yawning, and that yawning indicates mind and body are in conflict, can tell you when the dog's working on impulse control. So the example of this and where I would most commonly see it is if I actually do this setup with the dog in the house. So I've got my briefcase on the floor, closed up, and I put a handful of string cheese on the top of my briefcase. Now, then I'm going to wait for the dog to discover the cheese and go for the cheese. Now, when the dog makes a move to go for the cheese, then I'm going to begin the 4-step correctional teaching sequence. Now, step one is you got to tell the dog what they're about to do is wrong. So step one is no. And the no should be short, sharp, in an I mean business tone of voice. No, not no, no. And it's on deeper, but not necessarily louder. Okay. No. Second step, tell the dog what's right. Leave it. Now, I also use an I mean business tone of voice because this is an order. Now, step three, and this is the key. You have to do something to break through the dog's brain thinking process, because the dog is focused on the food and going for the food. And this is what you see, when dogs, you're out there to chase the cat, to chase the car, the squirrel, the chipmunk, the bunny, the other dog, or the person, whatever upsets their little apple cart or they want to go after, they alert on it and okay. And then once they get to that point, that's where everybody's lost, because you can't communicate. You can't stop it and all of that. And that's when people get really frustrated and start the yelling and the screaming. And remember, good, competent leader dogs are calm, cool, collected, and confident. They never overreact and they never lose their temper. Okay. So when you know this, you can go through it in a very unemotional way. So step one, no. Step two, leave it. Step three is where training tools come in. You need a training tool that gives you the ability to break the dog's concentration and get the attention back on you. Now, when I started figuring this out, was back in the 80s. And I started by using what is called a sound interruption. So a sound interruption technically is a sound other than your voice or hands, lasting only a second, loud enough to startle the dog from a source they cannot see. So I started with a true sound interrupt. And I still use a true sound interrupt in some situations, but not in this one. This is where this evolved, the sound evolved, but it's not a true sound interrupt because it's not from a source they can't see. They can see the source and they can see you make the sound. And I've added that component on purpose because the training tool, which it is very powerful when we find the right one, needs to be a reflection or an extension of your power. Okay. All right. So training tools. there are tons of things that can be training tools and that trainers use as training tools. My favorite training tool these days, and where I start with when I'm doing this correctional leave it sequence, is what I call the magic penny can. Now, Walter and Nathan can see it because I went out and got one. This very sophisticated training tool is an empty aluminum can, one roll of pennies in it, 50 pennies, and duct tape on the top. And when you shake it, I'm going to make a big noise. It makes that sound. All right. Now, I start with this penny can because over the years it has proven to be, with the vast majority of dogs, the most powerful and the most effective training tool. Now, there are other training tools that can be used. Besides the penny can, I'll use a little screecher, which is made by Mace, makes a sharp, high-pitched sound. The only problem with them is they're not making them anymore. So I have some because I bought up a bunch, or you can sometimes find old ones online, but they're not, I'm not really hyping that up because you can't find them anymore. I'm still looking for the right sound replacement for the screecher. Prior to the screecher, we used an air horn as a sound interrupt, you know, little mini air horn. Well, they now make air horns for dogs. They're called dog horns. You get them on Amazon. Now, the dog horn, you blast that would be a bigger loud sound. All right. Now, another sound interrupt that I use, this is newer in the field, but it's called a pet corrector. Now, do either of you watch Caesar, the dog whisperer?
I have, yes.
Okay. Now, if you watch Caesar, now what I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the standard Caesar spiel, because most trainers hate him. I mean, you got to get out of your ego and all of that. And so anyway, you know what you need to know about Caesar? He is one of the very, very gifted ones. He really knows what he's doing, and he does a marvelous job. He is one of the gifted ones. But there's one thing that I would add, and that he doesn't teach vocabulary. So if you're watching Caesar, learn from him. He's great, but teach words too, because it's nice to be able to talk to your dog. All right. When he's working a dog, Walter, you remember when he's working a dog, if he needs, he does a little tss, tss. A lot of trainers might, when it's not requiring a big no, will do an ah or ah. Well, Caesar does a psst. Is the sound that he makes to interrupt. Well, I call this pet corrector. You get them on Amazon. Caesar in a can. Okay. Because you can make a little sound, little hiss or a big hiss. Okay. Well, that can be a really good interrupter for dogs. Okay. And you can even order a little pouch that you put on your belt loop so you can carry the pet corrector with you if you need it. All right. You can just make a sound. You can hit the table. You can bang the wall. You can use a rolled up magazine or a newspaper, not as a weapon or a threat, but just to whack something. You can convince dogs you have huge power by the sounds that you make without causing any pain. Okay. And you got to remember, genetically, they're set up to be pack animals. The best way to emotionally and psychologically stabilize dogs is by providing powerful leadership. And that's what you're doing here. All right. Now, so the training tools are interchangeable. If you only use the training tools, they won't work forever. They'll get used to them. They'll figure out ways around them. All that. They need to be a part of the four-step correctional teaching sequence, because they must be perceived as an extension of your power. If at some point the training tool starts losing its power, if the idea, of course, is when it is seen as an extension of your power by the dog, pretty soon your voice has the power and you don't need the training tool. And if they have a big reaction to start with, then you only use as much power as you need. So it might be one big shake to start. I call the initial phases of using the penny can, the initial phase is charging the can. So when you need it, you do one big shake. But once it's charged and the dog says, oh my God, that's the most powerful sound on the planet. I don't ever want to hear that. Then maybe you just need a little shake or a little sound. Sometimes all you have to do is pick it up and show it to them. Okay. Now, if sounds don't work, we go to the squirt bottle with water and in a poof or a stream towards the face. Now,
and this is common for dogs like Labradors or Poodles that are bred for hunting, right?
What?
Or retrieving? If sounds don't work for a dog.
You're right. Right. It could be. Yeah. Sometimes dogs aren't sound sensitive and it doesn't work. But sometimes they aren't sound sensitive, but the training tool sounds still do work. So you always test. But if the sounds don't work, then we go with a squirt bottle. Some dogs don't like to be squirted with water, but some of them say, oh, God, that was fun. Do it again. So then you do 3/4 water, 1/4 white vinegar. They don't like that. Yes, it's not pleasant, doesn't taste good, doesn't feel good, but doesn't do any permanent damage, and it's fine as an interrupter. So I always start with a sound because it's easier. You know, if you got you got to do the squirt bottle, then you need to know whether it's on poof or stream. You got to aim as well as have it. So it sounds much easier. So if you can do sound, you want to do sound.
And what part of the dog are you aiming for? When
with
you
the squirt would be poof in the face or squirt at the face or right in front of the dog. There are lots of other things that can fall in the training tool department. Some people use a plastic bottle with rocks in it or coins. So lots of variations on the training tools. I can tell you all the different training tools that I've tried and experimented with. This sound, the aluminum can, 50 pennies, tends to be the consistently the best. But there's other things. Now, an e-collar these days, people talk about e-collars. E-collar is just another training tool. So it can be used in the same way. Yes, well, Walter, go ahead.
I just had a question with the spray can, the spray with the 3/4 water and 1/4 vinegar, did you say?
Yeah, white vinegar.
Would that hurt them if it got in their eyes? So should you be careful?
No, it's unpleasant.
It's just unpleasant.
That's the whole point of it.
Okay.
Okay, is that it is unpleasant. All right. And that's why I gave you the spiel of this is what's evolved over all these years. And that I'm not just an all positive trainer. I think they need to know what's wrong as well as what's right. Yep. There's a little bit of unpleasantness involved in this. Sometimes it's a big scare with the can. You push them back into it because see when this happens, you push them back into their fear, especially when you're taking the bark because you take the power. So what they do with that is like, oh, my God. I can't defend myself anymore. I can't defend us. We might die. And so you have to leave them there for a little bit while we're working through all of this for them to realize that, okay, the world's not coming to an end. Nobody's dying here. Oh, my people are really powerful. I guess I don't have to worry about anything. I just hang with them, do what they say to do, and I'm not responsible. I can relax. Dogs relax in the presence of powerful leadership. Okay. Now, so that's where we're going. Looking at the clock again, let's get advertisers taken care of. Then we'll come back and go through the sequence and how it works and see how much we can get in before the top of the hour. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead. 4-step correctional teaching sequence is all coming together next, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Going our own way every day. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are heading towards the end of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Heard from our wonderful Dr. Nels Rasmussen and his Neuroenergetic Balancing Rasmussen Reset. He has the do-it-yourself-at-home program available. He'd love to talk to you. He does a free telephone evaluation, and you can thank him for helping my little hummingbird when you talk to him. He likes you to go through the website, healingministryforanimals.com. Click on the contact link, fill out the little form, say, hey, want to talk to you? He'll arrange a phone call. And let's see. We've got our wonderful sound healer, Jude Ponton, back in business. Whispering Dragon Center, whispering-dragon.com. Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. Be sure and go and see the video she made for us with the sound healing for all the astrological stuff going on right now. And if you'd like to schedule in person or remotely, give her a call at 206-706-7487. 206-706-2836. All righty. So we're back to our teaching. Walter Stoffel is here, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. You can find him at walterstoffelauthor.com if you want a copy of the book. I'm in the middle of trying to teach you my four-step correctional teaching sequence because this is where everything lands right here, and this is kind of what puts it all together and gets you the clout back, gets you the power, and I'm teaching impulse control. This is the beginning. Okay, so we've got the cheese on the briefcase. And I want to tell you that, remember that it's the sounds must be, the sound of the squirt is an extension of your power. If you only use the training tools, they won't last forever. If the idea is to use them as you need them, but only as much power as you need. And then as you're getting the respect from the dog and your voice has the clout, then you wean off the training tools. If at any point the training tools start losing its effectiveness, then you first have to say, what am I doing wrong? Because it's obviously not being perceived as a reflection of my power. So you need to address that, and you may need to check in with Aunt Martha. The other thing you should do is switch up your training tools. So if you're using the can, go to the pet corrector or the squirt bottle. If you're the squirt, go to the, you know, so you switch your training tools. All right. So now we're back to the cheese on the briefcase. Dog goes for the cheese. The first thing I do is Step one is no. Step two is leave it. And by the way, this is the first step, you know, the dog chaser or the car chaser we were talking about. This is the step, first step. This dog needs a solid leave it. Then we can go from there. So no, leave it. Then almost simultaneously with the word leave it, I'm going to reach out with that can and shake it once big right in front of the dog's face. Now, if it works as it should, the dog's going to go, yikes, and be startled and scared and back up. And that's exactly what we want. You cannot let that bother you. And then step four, because that's exactly the reaction we want when we say leave it, is praise. Good leave it. Good leave it. Oh, what a good leave it. Now, your emphasis is always on the praise. Good leave it. Oh, what a good leave it. Oh, what a good leave it. You got the right sales pitch, you can convince dogs of anything. So you want to be praising so good that your dog's wiggling around saying, oh, God, I get it. I just leave the food alone. That was so much fun. Make me leave it alone again. Okay. So you want to make them feel really good about what they're doing. No, leave it. Shake. Good leave it. Oh, what a good leave it. That's a good leave it. Now, smart dogs, one try, you're done. They got it. It can take up to three repeats to get through to everybody. But one to three reps, they're going to get it. Now, if they had a big reaction to the can the first time, if they come back to the cheese the second time, I'll repeat the same thing. No, leave it, but less of a sound. And then good leave it. Now, what always happens, dog gets it, backs off, sits or lays down and stares at the cheese, and they stare at the cheese, and they stare at the cheese, and pretty soon they start yawning. Okay, because every cell in their body's saying, I want that cheese, I want that cheese. But the left brain's kicking in saying, yeah, but Martha's got that sound, she's powerful, you better not. So they're overriding the impulse to grab the cheese. That's what I want them to do. So when I see the yawn and I know what the internal battle is, I'm going to verbally help them win. Good leave it. Good leave it. You're working on the right thing. Good leave it. Does that make sense? All right.
Very much now, so.
Okay. So that is your basic four-step correctional teaching sequence. No, leave it. Training tool to interrupt and break through. And good leave it. That's a good leave it. Basic sequence. Now, sometimes I have to alter the sequence. And for barking, that is the case. So that's your basic leave it. And let's see. Now, yesterday when I did a session, I explained the leave it and just like this, but we didn't set it up, because the dog was, you know, it wasn't necessary to do the food. But this dog, this little mini golden doodle yesterday, had a paper fetish. So Kleenex and paper towels and any kind of paper. So what we did after I had them educated, guess what we did? Okay. I blew in some Kleenexes and threw them on the floor. They got out paper towels and napkins. We had them all over the place and we did no leave it. Okay. And by the time we were finished, the dog was saying, "Up, dirty Kleenex, paper up, not a problem." But remember, you have to generalize behavior. So you have to practice in different rooms and different places and all of that to generalize the response. Now, the correctional sequence for barking, a little different. So if it's a young puppy or a young dog and it's just beginning barking, you can use the sequence as I just gave you. A bark comes out, you can say, no, be quiet. Sound interrupt, good quiet. Good quiet. Now, but for dogs, older dogs, and all you people out there that barking dogs, Heidi would fall into this group if you want to get this under control. For older dogs, I alter the sequence. And initially, when you're going to start correcting the barking, step three, the training tool, moves to step one. And the reason for that is when most dogs that bark like crazy drive their people nuts, they do not have a clue that their people want them to be quiet. Because what happens? Dogs start barking. Woof, 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 woof. What do people do? We start yelling, no, 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 shut up. Well, no, no, no is a whole lot like woof, woof, woof. And in the dog world, the pack barks to support the leader. And remember, all these dogs are spoiled and don't respect their people anyway. And then you add in the yelling at them for barking. They just think you're barking with them because, after all, they're in charge. And they don't have a clue you want her to be quiet. So to get around that, with when we're initially getting barking under control, and by the way, it is unrealistic to expect dogs never to bark. It is realistic to expect to have verbal control over the barking and condition out nuisance barking. So when barking begins, the first thing you do is interrupt the bark. Now, sometimes this is powerful enough, you can interrupt the bark from across the room. And certainly once you've charged the can and they know it's powerful, then it will work at longer distances. Initially, you may need to leash the dog and keep them with you and close to you so they can't get away from the sound. Because a smart dog will say, oh, don't like that, but I don't want to stop barking, so I'll just go to the other side of the room or the other side of the house. So you have to leash them and keep them close. So for barking, it's can, and then that interrupts and shuts them up. Then you tell them what the problem was. No, be quiet. And as long as they're still quiet, good quiet. So rewind, and I'm coming to the client's house. I'm just getting there. I get to the porch. The owner comes out. Dog stays in the house. I give him the penny can. I explain they're going to go back in, put the dog on leash and harness, make sure he can't pull out of him, keep him close. I will knock and make sure the door is unlocked so I can come in. I knock. As soon as the dog barks, they shake the can and say, no, be quiet. And good quiet. That's a good quiet. Then I knock again or ring again. If there's another bark sound, no, be quiet. Good quiet. Then I knock again or ring, no, be quiet. Until I can knock or ring, there's no barks. Then I come in. And then at that point, now I ignore the dog. I don't make eye contact. I don't try to make friends because I want to build a relationship. At that point, I will also test the fear level of the dog. So once the barking's under control and the dog is leashed with the owner, I come in and then I drop or offer the dog a piece of the string cheese. The vast majority of dogs gobble it right up, but some of them don't. Now, what you need to know that if fear is really deep-seated on a physical and emotional level, it'll override the hunger drive. So if the dog doesn't take the food from me or off the floor, then I have to explain to the people right then and there, this is a seriously deep-seated fear that's overriding the hunger drive. So it's going to take longer to work with this dog and build the confidence. Those that take the food right away, then we know this behavior is learned behavior on the surface, and we're going to be able to deal with it really fast. Does that all make sense to you guys? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So, that the basic four-step correctional teaching sequence. Now, when we do for jumping up, we do an off sequence is the command that I use, but I add some additional steps to get that honed in properly. And I don't think we have a whole lot of time, enough time to go through that. So I think we're going to have to break here and pick up here next time. But the good news is you have the basic four-step correctional teaching sequence, all the education about training tools, and you guys can all start working with this now if you want to. We'll pick up with off sequence. And then I think from now on, Walter, the next shows that we do, we won't mess around with questions and stuff to start with, because now we're into the meat of the stuff and that's all we're going to do. So what will happen the next time, the next show that we do, we'll catch everybody up. We'll rerun this show before we do the next one so people can review. Then we'll pick up right here and I will give you the rest of the sequences for the different behaviors. Then I'm going to give you all the little exercises that I would give as homework for people to teach that we would need to put together in the programs that we're putting together to solve the problems with the dogs. And then, you know, originally when people called in with all the problems they wanted to know about, I wrote all that stuff down. And of course, I know what I deal with on a daily basis. Then we will address all the problems and how we put all these components together. Now, when we start to do that, you'll figure out nothing I teach is difficult or complicated. This is all really simple stuff, and it all fits together and just flows. And things can be resolved very, very quickly when you know how to do this. So we just got a couple of minutes left. You know, Walter or Nathan, have you got any questions? You want some clarification? Anything you want to ask or talk about before we wrap up for this time?
I just found this very informative.
Okay. That's good. That's good. And does it make sense to you, and you feel like you could pull off the sequence?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty basic stuff. I mean, it's, you know, four steps.
Yep. Yeah. Now we will add a couple of other steps when we're dealing with jumping up. And that'll be the next thing that we do. But basically, I use the sequence for leave it, for off, and for be quiet are the sequences you knew. And pretty much those four sequences cover all the bases when it comes to correcting and extinguishing behavior. We will add some other words that we teach and phrases that will be important. And those come with their own little teaching procedures as to how to deal with that. And that's all the stuff we'll get into. But from now on, these shows are going to be just pure and simple. Me teaching, we're talking problems. Then we'll go through all that. Then we'll get into letting people call and putting this all together specifically in specific cases. I think that next month, June, is a four Sunday month. So I think we'll skip a month and go to the fourth Sunday of July. So mark your calendar, Walter, the fourth Sunday of July. We'll rerun this show the last Sunday of June. Now, let's see. Next week, Encore, we're going to rerun Dr. Nels and Linda. And we had a lot of time to go into a lot of detail about the bioenergetic synchronization technique and the Rasmussen reset. So you can learn all about that and then get your surrogate healing from the phone calls that we took. But a lot of great information on that show. That's going to air next week. Week after, first Sunday of June, will be Shelter Rescue Sanctuary, anything that helps our animal friends. And we will continue as usual. So golly whiz, I know there's always more. I would have liked to get in a lot more. And next time we'll just get to it right away. So we'll get more. And that leaves us. So Walter, thanks so much for joining us. I hope it cools off for you. Nathan, thank you. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart, share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.